an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Tolu, can you tell us a bit about your own journey as a migrant? I hear it's pretty extraordinary.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Well, I am originally from Nigeria, and I moved to the US when I was a child, when I was 14 years old. I grew up in a house where I was taught to explore. I'd always wanted to be an engineer, and so when I came to the US, I had the opportunity to live that dream. And I studied chemical engineering in college, but soon after graduating, realized that I had lost access to my legal immigration status and I'd become undocumented. And that meant that me, a female African chemical engineer who's in high demand in the industry that needs more diversity and opportunity for minorities, could not work in that field, and I could not work as an engineer. I went to a bunch of lawyers to try to figure out how to solve the problem, how to fix the problem, and there were no options for me. So I took the issue into my own hands and decided that I would help change U.S. law. I know
just a small issue to tackle.
You know, the funny part is I know how ridiculous that sounds, because I've always been an engineer. You had to like strong arm me into taking a history class in college. Always been a scientist, but I saw a need and an opportunity to do more and to give back to a nation that had given so much to me. And I also saw that there were so many others that were in the same situation. And I didn't think I'd be doing more than answering phones and filing papers when I went to the nonprofit, NGO, I guess I should say here. It's probably easier for people to understand. When I went to them, and they were the ones that were leading the work on the DREAM Act, and I offered to work as a volunteer, and from there was just an opportunity to do endlessly more, and I did.
Certainly did. Pretty amazing, just hanging out with Obama.
Well, you know, I do what I can. Yeah. No, I had just an honor to introduce him at the White House when a bill that I had worked on in 2013 was being debated. He truly did, work closely with us. We didn't always see eye to eye. We didn't always agree. But there was always open dialogue, which is important.
Well, just goes to show, no matter where you come from, you can make change at every level, right?
My story exemplifies that, and that for me is so important for that little girl out there who needs to know that, you know, she might be in a rough situation right now, but her dreams are valid. And if I can be standing here today in Australia talking to you, then she can be whatever she wants. And I think that's really, at the end of the day, what I want my story to engender and to provoke.
Now, in your keynote address this morning, you spoke about global citizenship and sort of being a global United Nations. In terms of the United Nations, are they the best body to sort of enforce recommendations around migration policies, refugee policies, asylum seekers policies? Because we see in Australia, they're seen as a bit of a toothless tiger. Do you see that?
Well, I think that the best people to help push the needle forward on migration and refugee issues are the people themselves. I think regardless of the body, if you don't have the will of the people, you are destined to fail. I think that the United Nations is in a unique position to help lead that work and to bring countries together. But the power in achieving change lies within the citizens of our world, as opposed to within a small group, no matter how powerful that small group is.
Well said, well said. What do you think we fear, refugees, asylum seekers, and migrants? There's a real fear in Australia. What do you think there is that fear, and how do we overcome it?
Well, I won't presume to have a magic pill or a magic bullet, whatever it is. I always plead immigrant whenever I get any of these sayings wrong. So I wouldn't presume to know the answers. That is something that people endlessly smarter than I are working on. What I have found that does move the needle is us sharing our stories. I think that lives change, perceptions change when we have one-on-one conversations, when we move away from an implied awareness of an individual to a personal relationship. And so those that are actually within communities and speaking with migrants and living and working with migrants would have a much different idea of migrants and migration than those that are removed from them. So honestly, the perception issue has to do with really communicating with each other as people, you know, putting down our phones and talking to one another.
And just lastly, a very hard-hitting question. Which African country makes the best jollof rice?
Oh, no, you didn't do that to me. Come on. Of course, Nigeria. Like, should I spell that out for you? Always. I made jollof rice to some friends a couple weeks ago, and I was like, just so you know, this thing you're enjoying right here is specifically Nigerian. You're never allowed to have any other. So yes, Nigerian, absolutely.
If we didn't have migration, we wouldn't get to taste the beautiful food from around the world, right?
This is one of my favorite things about migration. I happen to love food. And living in the US and in New York and in DC, there is just a beautiful plethora of just different cuisines to taste from and different people to meet and the music. Yes, the joys of migration. I love it.
Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.